Today we read from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. He proposed another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things? They answered, yes. And he replied, then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. Let's join together in our affirmation of faith. Jesus taught us to speak of hope as the coming of God's kingdom. We believe that God is at work in our world, turning hopeless and evil situations into good. We believe that goodness and justice will triumph in the end, and that tyranny and oppression cannot last forever. One day, all tears will be wiped away. The lamb will lie down with the lion, and justice will roll down like a mighty stream. True peace and true reconciliation are not only desired, they are assured and guaranteed in Christ. This is our faith. This is our hope. Amen.
Our focus scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. The 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. Things aren't going well for the Christians in Rome. They're experiencing some real hardships, some real suffering. And Paul is writing to them in this particular piece about that suffering and about the hope that this will end at some point. And so we pick up the letter at verse 26. Here are the words that Paul writes to the church. In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are. For we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit itself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows that the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on our behalf, for all of God's people, and in accordance with God's will. We know that in all things, God works for good with those whom he has called according to his purpose. Those whom God has already chosen, God also set apart to become like God's Son, so that the Son would be the first among many believers. And so those whom God has set apart, God called. And those God called, God put right with God's self, and God shared his glory with them. In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own Son, but offered him for us all. God gave us his Son. Will God not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? It is God who declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather who was raised to life and is at the right side of God, pleading with God for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it? Or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. You know, our English language can be very confusing, especially to others from other countries with other languages, and sometimes even to ourselves. The same word, as we are aware, if you think about it, might have different meanings. Not just one, but several. They may even be spelled the same. Most of them are, and there are some that sound the same, although they're not spelled the same. I became aware of this, or was raised to me, of when we hosted our German foreign exchange student, Sarah Poli. And the very first day we were with Sarah, we picked her up at the airport, and we were talking about, well, we have to move all of this stuff. And she looked at us with a confused look on her face and said, well, tell me, what is stuff? So we tried to explain, well, my desk, if you've seen my desk in my office, you know it's not the cleanest desk in the world, right? Well, she was in my office, and so we pointed to the top of my desk and said, see all this, all these things? Well, that's stuff. But then we had to explain to her that also you have stuffed animals. You stuff an animal. Or when you're full, when you've eaten enough, sometimes you say, oh man, I'm stuffed. Different meanings. Same word. There are others, of course. How about the word can? Can you do this? Are you able to do this? Or get that can of soup. Or, so what? Or, I need to sew this button back on my shirt. Or how about the word run? How fast can you run? A physical activity. Or, can you run this computer? Can you operate this computer? No wonder folk are confused. No wonder we're confused sometimes. Well, this passage from Romans that we shared together offers us another opportunity to think about meanings of a particular word. The word I have in mind is in verse 28a. We know that in all things God works for good. The word good. You may not think about it, but it has several meanings. Now, that's not the entire verse. There's more to that verse than what I just read to you. But that's what we hear and what we get stuck on in this particular verse. In all things, God works together for good. I looked up some synonyms for good, like excellent, exceptional, great, marvelous, superb, wonderful. Something that good is something like that. But when we read it in this verse, God works for good, it's problematic, isn't it? It is to me. Wait a minute. God works for good in all things. Not everything that happens to us or in the world is good, is it? There's some pretty tough stuff, some pretty tragic things. All of those things are good? God plans those things? God sets those up? What's good about those things? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I don't think that's what it means. And Lee Campbell Taylor, who's an adjunct professor at Candler School of Theology, has been a chaplain and an associate pastor at Noonan Presbyterian Church. Those are all in Atlanta, Georgia, by the way. Explains this verse this way. She says, it's easy to misinterpret this verse as suggesting that all things, even all tragedies, are part of God's purpose. Yeah, we know that, don't we? She continues, but what the Apostle Paul intends us to understand is that even in tragedy, God is still at work and still calling us to participate in creating good even from the bad. That's helpful, isn't it? That makes sense. And that's where the second part of this verse, is verse 28, comes in. It reads like this, with those who love God, according to whom God has called, according to God's purpose. Some versions of the Bible, some translations translate this with as for. But I think it makes a huge difference in this passage, doesn't it? God works with those who love God. God works with us. We work with God to bring good out of tragedy, to continue to work for the good, even in tragic, difficult, chaotic situations. We are called to take part in that working for God's good. To assist God with that in every way that we possibly can, in every situation that calls for it. I like what Eugene Peterson does in the Message with how he paraphrases that. He says it like this, God decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love God along the same lines as those of God's Son. Our lives are shaped by God along those same lines to work for good as Jesus worked for good. That's a big responsibility. We are empowered by God to do just that. There's another meaning of the word good, how we use it. Like, I'm done with this for good. Right? You ever said that? It implies, I'm done with this forever, never coming back to that. Or I'm in it for good. I'm in it from the beginning to the end, for all eternity. Well, which good is Paul using here? Which definition? The good news is that we don't have to decide in this case. We don't have to discern what Paul is talking about with the word good. Because it's both. God works for good. For a high quality, excellent life, a wonderful, superb, marvelous, exceptional, great life for everybody. All of God's people in the world. And God will work at it for good. Forever. For all eternity. Because God's purpose, God's intent, is always for good. For everybody. That is what we hope for. That is what we will work for until all things finally resolve into the good that God intends. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.